Hello and welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. Today it's me, Smiley, doing the hosting again because KO is out doing KO stuff. But we have a pleasant surprise for those of you who are not watching on YouTube. The big man himself is back, Alhaji, our jack of all trades, our crack of all trades. Chale, he'll be fitter, he'll be this in crane operator, he'll be taxi driver, he'll be a bobo yard driver. Everything some way you go fit think of
maybe
for this
bottles watcher.
If you bottles watcher, if you marathon runner, if every mountain climber, everything some.
Wait, I get two things where he be. One, he be Mamprobi Abramovich. Where in Samsung be the whole world. Only one Sheikh Ibn Al Arafat. So eat that. But he's also be my boss, so as he come, I get because it means the money they come fast.
Charlie Crackles, welcome back. How be this?
Charlie, I miss you guys fast. I miss you guys fast. And if you see how you put, if you make Van Gaal die and Curry get away with things, like then I think back they do so. But my baby, smiley. Nothing I get tell him. You make it look like I've lived many lives. What are you cool?
But you really lived many lives.
We will put up some of the pictures for this episode. We will put up some of the pictures for this episode.
They talk that thing like, but yeah. You then you day police. Then you be head of standards bureau for police. You won't do like.
Anyway, Van Gelder, as for those watching on YouTube again, Van Gelder just come from church. That's why he dressed formal like that. You right now say where you did Czech Republic or you did London? Because you there right now you be country hopper. We don't know where you did.
I did check.
Let's check my house
for check. You know they see the background.
So you go church for check. What language do they speak for the church there?
Bro, Church of Pentecost. Make you no move to our senior. I beg you. Make you no make the Pentecost people come for you. Then go pray for your head. Make you no make them come for you.
Shout out to the Church of Pentecost of Prague. Anyway, we just have to jump right into it because we have a lot of action to discuss. And the best place to discuss, the obvious place to discuss things is the Olympic Games, which just started on Friday, even though football started somewhere on Wednesday. We've already had a lot of controversy on the football side,
bro,
where we saw Morocco doing this blockbuster match with Argentina, where the referee said that they won't make Argentina tear by force. So instead of giving like 8 minutes of added time, he make a stretch go like 15 minutes. He won't make them score by force. Then score away, then say some VAR matter, offside. The goal that they equalized finally to make it 2-2. There was an offside and they had to sack all the fans from the stadium and let them come back after, let the players come back to the pitch after 2 hours. For them to continue the match. It was a whole, dramatic thing. So I don't know how many people caught that one, but if you haven't, go and watch about it, go and read about it. We are not going to talk too much about that one. But yeah, for me, the place I want to start is with our very own Black Star, with our very own Ghana. Because in this Olympic Games, as usual, Ghana sends representatives, but it is a very underwhelming delegation we sent as compared to previous Olympic Games. Because for this particular Olympic Games, we are sending 8 athletes, just 8. In the previous Olympic Games in Tokyo, we sent 14, which was also less than what we were used to. But 8 is, for me, 8 is very disgraceful for a country like Ghana. One of the reasons why
seven.
We only...
Who will be the 8th person? Sorry, but then I figure it'd be 7.
Okay, so for track and field, we have Ibrahim Fuseni, Isaac Botio, Benjamin Azamati, and Joe Paul. They are participating in the 4x100, and I'm guessing they'll also be participating in the 100 meters for Ghana. I'm not too sure about that, but I know they are participating in 4x100. And then we have Rosie Bois participating in high jump. I don't know if anyone remembers, but she's the one who won the high jump at the African Games. And then we have Harry Stacey competing in swimming. Joselle Mensah also competing in swimming. So how many I mentioned? 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, okay, it'd be 7 actually. Wow. Yeah. 7 participants.
How?
7 participants.
Half from Tokyo.
Charlie, from Tokyo, we had 14. A number of the people I just mentioned were. So we've dropped by half.
Yeah.
Me first make a ask Crack, because Crack be the person where he Monday boxing inside. Like, what happened? Because we don't, a whole Ghana, that is like the powerhouse in boxing in Africa, didn't send even one boxer to the Olympic Games. What's going on? What happened, your boy?
When you say we didn't send, it's like we qualified and we pulled out. Yes, you're qualified. You know, we say like the one day we not send anybody, like them qualify with they pull out. Like I say they'll go, then they owe them money or something. I pit up. They lost every single one of them. Techi didn't go. He didn't go. He actually didn't go for the qualifiers or anything, right? The first qualifiers, when they went, he didn't make it. But they had a chance to go for the second time. But he was like, he just wanted to go pro. So he didn't go. So he went straight pro. But the rest that went here, boobia. I knew it would happen. I knew it would happen because the preparation wasn't good. I'm telling you, the All African Games, the boys did well in boxing because it was home support. I said, the Jamestown effect. But they weren't being fed well. They weren't resting well. The conditions was bad. Like, recovery time, all these things, like, they were poorly managed. So, definitely, when you go abroad to go for the qualification, you'll be exposed. You are meeting people that are in better conditions than you and all this. And I've been watching the boxing since the game. If some of our boys are advanced, then go beat them. Because I don't watch the condition these guys day inside, even the divisions, and says, bro, forget. Like, we have a lot of work to do. Like, Charlie, our sports is in shambles, and this Olympics is a direct reflection of it. How we can get, and mind you, all these guys that are going for the Olympics, they weren't training in Ghana. Makes you think as well. So think about it. None of them are training here. None of them are based here. So what power we do for it? And the boxers where they're not qualified, they are the ones that were based here. So that's all I can say.
Van Gelder, so far in the Olympic Games, have you caught any of the action?
Good evening to our cherished listeners and viewers. No, I haven't had the time, because truthfully, Olympics is not my thing. It's not really my thing. So I'm not something I'm keen. I didn't even watch the opening ceremony because it's not something I enjoy, to be fair. But I just want to pass comments on the fact that our delegation has been cut by half. I mean, truthfully, I don't know what anyone else expected, right? Look at how we treat every team in this country or in our country, Ghana, outside of the Black Stars. Nobody ever gets what they want. Nobody gets even a quarter of what they need, let alone what they want. So I don't know why we expect or we think that it's going to be, oh, maybe like, be like, if we win our way, we just crack it up. We win our way, we decide, say we know go or something. We are not doing well. We are not taking care of our athletes. We are not giving them the necessary support, funding, anything that they need. We are not giving it to them. And so I don't know why we think that if we've not put in the work and we've not made the necessary investment, that the world will still just say, oh, because you're gonna here for because you're gonna have 4 boxing slots for you to go. Nah, then go beat you. Then go beat you like thief if you go there. Every day, watch you the chop be bangkun. Every day, watch you the chop be gari, carbohydrates and kwan. They know the mix, give you the right proportions. No nutritionist, not every day. You just the chop, the bed, the sleep top be hard, like the gloves be old. If all the damn things, it just be what the coach, the physique settle you, or if you have a management team or a manager, what if he send you, make you take chop, Indomie and things. Why say somebody where they chop fish, then they check in diet, then they check in body fat every time, then get all the necessary? Why if he catch you, you know, go beat you? Go beat you. You know, like, it's simple. I know we are a deeply spiritist country and deeply religious, so we believe that God will come through then. It says, no, God self, he didn't like preparation. He self, he didn't like preparation. So if we as a country decide not to invest, we decide not to care about our athletes, we decide to move anywhere we like, do things the way we like there, then go ship we, where in the end, make nobody can do like then shock them. Since. Right? When was the last time our under-23s qualified for Olympics? When?
I think the 2004 Olympic Games. I remember because Stephen Appiah was, I think, the captain of the team. 2004. That's 20 years ago.
Appiah can't retire, born making Kiddy self start the play ball.
That was
Athens. We no goal since.
Athens, yeah.
We no goal since. Athens, Greece, my economy can't shimmer. Made and they come out of recession, self. Still, we no go. Do you know how we that, you know, think about it too? Ghana football, we know if we qualify. Black Queens, they are, I don't know if I think they qualified or something like that. I don't know.
They're not qualified. As in within the last 20 years.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they've qualified.
We had a chance recently, so, and we couldn't, but we
it'd be like this last qualifying series, it'd be like something happened. We lose some game, Zambia.
Yeah,
or somebody like that. Yeah, score
we were close.
We go lose.
We're close, away. And then yeah,
very very close, very 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 close. And so let's just say, and even that one, I'm pretty sure they have is the coach, that woman they have at the Black Kings. She's really really good, and she's getting them playing some very good football. I think So at the end of the day, this is our track record, and we have been finessing sports for God knows how long. So now. When we are not able to finesse anymore, and the whole world is looking at us, and the finesse way with the juju all finish, you know. Right now, man to man, human being, no spiritual anything. See where we did. So for me, personally, I'm not shocked. I'm not disappointed, because it is only when you have expectations that you be disappointed. I didn't have any expectation. The 7-7 then get self, he exceed what then I get give them. So. Well, good on them to make 7, but this is a trend that should be deeply concerning to anyone that cares about the country and sports in general, and where we are supposed to be as a country in terms of sports, because it is not a lack of talent or a lack of passion or drive or desire by these athletes, but there's a deep, deep resentment and hatred from the people that are supposed to put things in place. I always say, they don't love the country. They don't care. They don't want anything to be good. And if you don't love the country and you hate the athletes and everything, this is what you get. Because you can't tell me you care about the country, or you love the athletes, or you want them to do well and treat them the way you do. Nobody will do that. Right? So for me, that's that. For the rest of the games, I wish everybody the best. I know America will win swimming. I don't know if they've done swimming. Pretty sure they will win that one. I think the women, I predict Australia will probably
win the women's. They've already picked gold in the 4x4 relay.
Ah, anyway. Because I don't know. I think they are producing swimmers in the lab in America. But would that be another discussion for that day? I think Australia might take for the women's side. But that's the extent of my knowledge with regards to Olympics. I might try to watch some to follow. But yeah, that's that.
Anyway, let me touch on a few of the Ghanaian athletes who people were expecting to see but are not in the delegation. For someone like Abeku Jackson, he wasn't able to qualify. In previous Olympic Games, he actually didn't qualify through the time. But apparently for swimming, everybody is given 2 wild cards to participate in the Olympic Games. And he's used both his wild cards already. So this time he had to qualify through the actual qualification process and he failed to do that. So unfortunately, there's no Abeku Jackson, who is one of our top swimmers. And then is it high jump? I don't know if you guys remember, but we had a gold medal winner in Kadman Yamwa. Yes, Kadman Yamwa. He's the one who made a lot of waves. When he won the high jump, he did the sue and all those things. I think he became Commonwealth boy, so he had a lot of support from the Commonwealth boys and things. Unfortunately, he too was unable to qualify. So that one for me was a huge disappointment, because I really thought he could ride on that momentum to qualify. But it looks like the African game standards will be very much lower than the Olympic standards at the moment. So at least we are hoping that the 4x100, for me, among all the delegation we've sent, I think it's the 4x100 that I have the most hope in, especially because of Joe Paul and Benjamin Azamati. Because of the African Games, Azamati was quite underwhelming, but I'm hoping it was more of a psychological, mental something, and he's been able to get over it. So yeah, for the sprints, I have a lot of hope. I also have hope in Rosie Bois, who is also the representative in the high jump for the women, because I think at the moment she's the number 12 ranked high jumper in the world. So that's quite impressive. So I'm hoping it to translate into the actual games for everything. And before we move on from the Olympic Games, I just want to ask Crack about the basketball side of things. Because this time, it looks like in previous Olympic Games, at least recently, the interest from the American side was a bit low. It was dwindling. So they were more or less sending like B team, C team. But this time, all of the big hitters said and they can't participate. But even with that, we saw South Sudan holding them to a very close margin win. Like, South Sudan nearly beats the USA, which I don't know much about basketball, but I think it might have gone down as the biggest upset in basketball history, even though it was an exhibition game. So, Crack, first of all, the US team, are you expecting them to take it home? Or because of how South Sudan took them close? And apart from the US too, who else are you tipping to like go really far from the basketball side?
Okay, the thing is that I think people who don't really follow are overreacting. Like, it was impressive from South Sudan. But then at that time, the US team, they've not had 4 training sessions, right? So like, it's a team that have been put together for the Olympics. So backstory, why the Avengers came. So the FIBA champions, the world champions, where America was third. And they basically took their B team and all of that. And there was a lot of chatter. That was when Laos was like, world champions of what? World champions of what? And all those things. Like, so people were talking trash about America and all of that. And mind you, right now, the game has evolved a lot. Let me give you a stat. When the Dream Team played in the Olympics in 92, right, they only faced like 7 or 9 NBA players, right? But right now, in this Olympics, they are going to face like 60 plus. So the competition, the gap is getting closer now. The talent is wider. And one thing people don't know about these European teams are they've been together since they were 12 years. They have a lot of chemistry going on for them. So anytime you see the US play, a star power, they are just good. They are just better. So their quality is going to outshine. But when it comes to chemistry, they can't compare to Spain, Germany, Serbia, all these teams. Like, they put them in a training camp from 12 years, 12, under 12, 14, 16, 18. They are playing together. And they hardly change the team. They just do maybe injury, then they bring one person, and they value also their players that play in their leagues as well. So they have good chemistry. So people, I've seen a lot of people that if you don't follow the sport, you might just think this, why are the US not winning by 30? Why are they not winning by 20? But no, it's not like that. They are going to win, but it's going to be harder for them because of the talent gap. And also South Sudan, I might say, like, they've been impressive. And I tweeted last time that they will very soon be the future of the NBA because right now they have the hybrids. Like, right now, NBA is going to the direction like Wemby, 7-footed that can handle the ball, that can shoot, that can defend. And South Sudan, they are one of the tallest nations in the world. But it's like, you know, once you don't play America, people are ignorant. Americans think America is the world. So, I mean, they were at the FIBA World Cup and they did well. You understand? I mean, it's not that like they went to the final. But mind you, do you know South Sudan don't have an indoor basketball gym? most of their players don't even stay in the country. Because, I mean, just a couple of years ago, there was still civil war in sense, right? So it was
It's the newest country in the world.
Exactly. So Luol Deng is an NBA veteran and a star. So he's the one that is behind the South Sudanese project, right? He played for Chicago Bulls. He even went on the Lakers. He's well-respected, understands the game. So he's the one behind it that he's doing a lot. And people are not taking time to get information about these things. When they see South Sudan, they go like, oh, South Sudan, that means you have to beat them. But they have NBA players and they have Thor. They have Thor Maker, who's already drafted. They have Thor Maker's younger brother, who was the 35th draft in NBA draft. Speaking, you understand?
Speaking of that, how come Bobo is not playing for them? Isn't he from South Sudan as well?
He's supposed to be, but I don't know. Maybe sometimes, I mean, it's not every day that a recruitment. I don't know whether he's injured or I don't think he's injured, but I've not really dived deep into it. If he was there, it would have been a problem as well. It would have been a problem as well. And at the end of the day, as I said, these teams have chemistry. You understand? They play fundamental basketball. Pass, rebound, push the pace, shoot where you can, rebound, lay up. If you don't understand the game, you will not think they are being effective. Also, too, the FIBA rules is very more physical than the NBA. So when NBA players come to the world, they have to learn how to adjust. Because some fouls that they call in the NBA, they don't call in the world. So it's more physical. So NBA, they like to be smart, foul bait and all those things. It doesn't work here. So it takes adjustment. So players that have been there before, like LeBron, like KD, AD, and since they help the young ones that are coming that look. This is like even JT was in the World Cup team. Last one when they won, KD was there as well. JT was there. Draymond Green. This is, mind you, this is Steph's first Olympics, which people didn't even know. Steph Curry's first Olympic, because anytime there was Olympic, he had niggling injury or something. So he couldn't make it. So he's very excited and motivated. The South Sudan team, that match that people were reacting to, I understand why people are reacting, but they had no KD. KD was injured. As I said, it was just an exhibition game. They were still getting to know each other, but they were able to pull through. That shows the closing of God. Mind you, South Sudan won their first ever Olympic game today, and they're in their first ever Olympic competition. They beat Puerto Rico, the same Puerto Rico that beat them in the FIBA tournament just 2 years ago. But South Sudan made history today. The other teams that you need to look out for is Canada. The Canadians have good NBA stars playing. It's not just regular players, so NBA stars. They have SGA, they have Dillon Brooks, they have this guy, I just forgotten his name, but the Nuggets, Jamal Murray. They have a stacked team. They are the next team to look out for. And then with the reigning world champions, Germany, too, you need to look out for them. And you have Greece is not a slouch as well. Giannis, they literally pushed Canada just yesterday to the brink. And Canada pulled out because, as I said, they have talent. You understand? And then the old Serbia. Serbia is there. South Sudan is there. So people that don't know, like Japan, two NBA stars over there. Puerto Rico, two. That's what I'm saying. When you calculate, when you add all of them, like the gap is not that big that people don't know. So if you want to watch good sports, please watch the Olympic basketball game. You will see how good these people are. That's all I have to say about that.
So for anybody who has been following our social media pages, we've been nominated for Sports Podcast of the Year at the APVA Podcast Awards. Now, this is the second year in a row that we've been nominated. Last year, we didn't win, unfortunately. I think the award went to a Nigerian podcast. But once again, we've been nominated and we are going up against podcasts from other countries. I think there's one from Kenya, one from South Africa, and one from Nigeria. So yet again, we are facing huge competition. And Charlie, guys, this one, we won't win now. Last year, then we did flex more. We didn't really campaign or anything. But right now, Charlie, we need your votes. So we are going to share the link to vote in the tweets and Instagram posts that we put up for this episode. So when it comes out, please open the link. It's not a difficult process. Just open the link, vote for us. If you get multiple email addresses too, because it uses your email address. So if you get multiple email addresses too, use all your email addresses to vote for us so as we bring it home for Ghana. So yeah, APVA Podcast Award. Open the link when you see it and just vote for us anywhere you see the link. And also, Charlie, you can also share it in your different groups, anywhere you want to share it so that you vote for us. We beg. Just help us to bring it home. Moving on from the Olympics, let's talk about a little football transfer action since we're in the middle of the transfer window, Fabrizio season. And earlier last week, I think, Man United beat Real Madrid to the signing of Leny Yoro. Now, this was a transfer that was very, should I say, controversial. And it raised a lot of, there was a lot of conversation around it because obviously everybody knew that Yoro wanted to go to Real Madrid. It was like, it was just, it wasn't really much of a secret. Everybody just knew. And then Real Madrid, it appears that their plan was that since they knew that he wanted to go to Madrid, it was either to wait till next summer to sign him on a free since his contract was up next summer, or they just bid the lowball Leo and just bid some small amounts because they know that Leo wants to take something small and not lose him for free. In the end, Man United and Don Ratcliffe say, no way. This be the person which we want. We won't chop your meat some. So they went and blew Madrid out of the water with a bid that many people have called I've said the bid was too much because Man United signed him for about 60 million euros. People are saying that, Charlie, for somebody who had 1 year left on his contract, why would you do that? And it's kind of like what they did with Mason Mount last year. So let me start with Crack. How do you feel about the Leny Yoro signing? And do you know much about him?
Why you know stop? Wait. Why they start? Why you know stop plus me?
You be Man United fan. You they support.
Make I talk my own them. Then let me get my own out of the way so that the United fans can see their.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It's okay. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, talk back,
please.
Okay.
I don't know much about him, but I've heard he's very talented. I've heard he's a very good player. This thing that people are saying Man United have overpaid. At the end of the day, the payment is decided, the price is decided by the seller. Right? Yeah, Man United could have decided that they'll walk away. But because it seems like they really wanted this guy, and they knew that if they left it to next year, there's no way he'll come to United. In the end, they've had to come up with the money to pay. I think I would like to believe that the structure of the deal will be favorable to all. So, for instance, maybe United doesn't have to front load a bunch of that money immediately. They will probably pay a part of it, maybe like 30 million or something. And then over the length of his contract, they go pay the rest or something like that. So, if everything I've heard about the kid is true, then United have got a very exciting player on their hands that could help their defense. But yes, Tigbeck and all, he hits. So. I don't know if
they say it might be a fractured. Some people say it be sprained ankle. Some say it be fractured ankle. Hairline fracture.
So it be Hoyland get a hamstring.
Hoyland get a hamstring. That one.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Well, ankle, but ankle safe. It's still goofy. Take 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
If it's a sprained ankle, it might be 3 to 4 weeks. If it's a hairline fracture, that's about 8 weeks.
Jeez.
So, fingers crossed.
Very small. And I move from data to football.
Italy, why not? The football there, you go down into everything. Medicine, geography, everything.
But once again, this is the club getting a player to meet the expectations of the manager, which then means, again, there's pressure on Eric Ten Hag to make sure that it works. So you can't have the leaky defense you had last year. You can't have the defense where everybody knows if you cut back against United, 97% chance that they can't score with that, right? So I do hope, it's a lie. I actually don't hope that it works well. I hope that he's injured all the time so he can't play. so that I can be happy. Because the way United fans be like this summer, your eye gets, they get good, like on paper, you are getting, you know, good backroom staff, good people at the top. Be like, you get hierarchy, then the way you put your eye get it, they bore me. So I hope that it doesn't work out. And I hope that Mason Mount keeps shining so that everybody will be happy and you will be sad. So that'd be what me, I get.
Crack.
You finish.
Finally, you finish.
Anyways, that coach, if you buy him 10 Messi safe, I don't trust him. Let's start from there. I have seen enough. And once again, he's about to get an excuse where a pivotal signing of his has got injured. In fact, two. Right now, he's about to start giving excuses about players not being available. Why can't you just sack the fitness coach and get another? I know this wasn't about fitness per se when it comes to Euro. But then, Hoyland went to the Euros, went to play matches, no hamstring. He came train, no hamstring. He just came to United, no hamstring. There's something wrong over there. Secondly, we can buy prime, what's the name, Nesta. We can buy prime Javstam. We can buy prime Vidic. We can buy prime John Terry. If you don't shield the defense well, it's useless. I didn't watch the match. I saw Arsenal's goal. It was a stupid goal to concede. Once again, our keeper was beaten at the first post, but then there was no better defense. I'm saying this for people to understand that this guy is finished. Casemiro is finished. He can't be the shield. If we don't buy a DM, we are going into the season with the same team as last season. Nothing has changed. If you think about it, we are signing players, but we've not signed players because the chaff is still there. We've not gotten away with most of the... We've not sold the players that are supposed to move on. We've not done... Our squad depth is still shit. Anthony is still there getting playing time. We are just an injury away from Ahmad or somebody that Anthony is back. Me, this coach that they are saying that we are going to keep Ahmad chance. I have seen enough. I have seen this guy get opportunity to play Ahmad and still not playing. I have seen him play Ahmad. Ahmad made a difference, but he will still bench him the next game for Anthony. I don't trust him. Euro is a promising player, but I just know Sir Jim also use we get money for that. Because player will get 1 year left for a contract. No way he forgo 60 something million. Something there back. It be business thing they do. No? I don't lie you. Some money laundry thing there back. Something they are asking them for investigate. Because me, I don't say then that 60 million, they take some give your money family. Because I never see transfer where are they hear from the mother, the guy in mother, before I sign, in mother, in father, in cousins, every, hey, one transfer in family members all get safe for inside. It has always been his dream. Right? They know the boy in dream, oh. Meanwhile, the boy won't go play for Madrid, but they say no. The guy to we sign him into, he say, as he say, we win the FA Cup, where you know, say, this is the team to be. I'm wicked, like I never do this. What a lie. But one thing I like is, it looks as if most of our signings, we are not throwing money away with the salary. That's one thing I'm seeing. And it has always been something that I've always been against. Getting players and giving them nonsense salary. And right now, when you want to move on from them, it's difficult because nobody can pay for the salary. Right now, they have to go on loan and you have to pay part of it and all those things. It fucks team up. And also, if you are signing new players, they go like, ah, how is this trash ass getting 250? They want to give me 120. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. We've not gotten rid of most of the players we are supposed to. So, me, this is not a new United team. And it hurts me that we are going to start the season without Euro because the glimpses I've seen, he still needs to improve. He's young. One thing I like is he can pass and his recovery is very good. Because I like defenders that when they make mistakes, they are smart enough to recover and travel the chance. You understand? Snuff it out. Like he really does well with that. So I just like the fact that he's young and he will learn. So, I just like the signing because we needed a defender. I want us to move on from Lindelof and all of them. We still have old man Evans over there. he'll just be a guy. At all. I want him to be the guy. I want him to teach the young guy. I don't want him to be getting playing time. But it looks as if, once again, if we don't get our other targets, it looks as if Evans can creep him back into the team. So, I mean, for now, the Euro looks promising, and I'm not going into the season with any high expectation for any sign. Was one, I don't trust the coach, that's all. I just know that Euro is not by their shield, that's all.
So, Van Gelder, you have your hand up, so.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Crack. You say you need a defensive midfielder. Who do you think
will be a good signing
at like a... The reason why the base is because, truthfully, like, there are not many good ones available now. And United is currently heavily linked with Manuel Ugarte. So I'm actually trying to ask along the lines of, is he somebody you think will do the job that you believe needs to get done? Or do you think maybe the club might be better off?
Oh, my kind of DM has always been the nervous types, right? My kind of DM has always been the nervous type and all.
Biggest thought.
I've seen Ugarte.
So
I've seen
Corey Ugarte, just right? Thought they could have a pod without me.
So Corey just
Crack,
walked
I'm
in
sorry
today.
For interrupting you.
Welcome, Corey. Even though
I heard Crack was on the mic and I was just like, I gotta stop whatever I'm doing and get on here, bro.
Anyway, Crack.
My good brother, it is good to see you. It's been a minute.
I miss you, Pass.
Pass,
because then,
bro.
Then they make it get away with things where my heart they break. But it'll be cool.
No, and I knew that if I didn't come today, you get away with things. Because me, I didn't hear my ideal player would have been nervous and things. You get nervous money. You get
no,
nervous
I'm not
money.
Saying, I'm not Master saying, listen. Sorry, sir. Anyways, so, Bangelda, to answer you before, I was rudely interrupted. So, I'm just saying that the Ugarte, right? Me, I don't have a problem with signing young players, right? Because I've seen him and his style of play is kind of the buga buga, breaking up play. And by now, we want DMs that can break up play and pass. But anybody that can free the number 8, I like. That guy can be a shield to the defense. That's what Casemiro can't do box to box again. Do you know what he does? If he goes and he's coming and he can't, you slide and get a yellow card or something. And you do like, oh shit, I tried. We've studied him and he can't fool us again.
That'd be true. If he's easy, but when you have a young track back,
see,
he goes slide some foolish slide.
He goes slide from center circle or something. We see his style already. So Ugarte be player where the CC, if you go all around, he's young, he's energetic, he's a good tackler. He still has to work on this ball possessing and passing. That can be taught. Me, I always say that a primary role of a DM is to break up play. Once you can do that, the rest can come. You know, you by force say DM for no pass like Busquets. Nobody they talk so. No for no pass like Rodri. Position yourself well, snuff out the danger, and help out the attack. If you can do that, that's all. Casemiro can't do that again. Do you understand? That's why I'm saying that if you don't get a DM, you can sign Nesta. You can sign anybody. Your defense still go leak because we don't have a better shield. And that coach still not get sense. Teach the players when there is a cutback, how big their position is herself. Still, see Jesus now. Jesus in goal is called. See the goal is called. Poor defender. It was like they were joking. You understand? So, yeah, to answer your question, that's that.
So, let me just touch on Euro a bit. So, for me, in terms of the amounts we paid, yes, I fully agree that they paid way too much. The same way I felt like they paid way too much for Mason Mount when he had 1 year left on his contracts. And this one, for Euro, I think for his age and everything, maybe his value was probably even less. But in terms of talent, he's obviously very highly rated. Apparently, Florentino Perez viewed him as the Mbappe of defenders, the upcoming defenders. And that's why he wanted him so badly. You know me, I talk. That'd be what they say, Florentino Perez. They talk.
You
know me,
I
talk.
You see why I had to come on the pod?
You know me,
I knew that United would try to do some things today.
That be maybe quotes are the quotes. They say Florentino Perez, they see him as Mbappe of defenders.
And yes, he puts in a hell of an effort to sign him, right?
He's an 18-year-old. Madrid don't have money to spend on that position like that. So Madrid, everything was set for them. Just low ball Leo offers on 25 million. Leo accepts, even though it's less than what they want. Leo probably didn't expect to get 60 million, but they weren't trying to sell him for 25 million either. So they were hoping to sell somewhere in between. And for United, it's more of like a chess game. First of all, you ask yourself, how badly do you want the player? And if he's as highly rated as, like, if he's as good as they say he is, then you have to put up the money you have to blow Real Madrid out of the water to get him. Because the thing is, if you're in Real Madrid,
60 million though.
Let me explain what I think the mindset was. Real Madrid offered 25 million. United could also, let me finish. Real Madrid offered 25 million. United could have offered 30 million. If United offered 30 million and Leo accepts that one, Real Madrid would just up their 25 million to 30 and also have their offer accepted. The moment those two offers are accepted, he's going to Real Madrid because everybody knows that his preferred choice is Real Madrid. The only way to get him under these circumstances, because the thing too is that you also can't wait till next summer when he's available for free. Because when he's available for free, he's definitely going to Real Madrid. The only way to get him is to make sure that you offer an amount that Real Madrid cannot match. And then with that in place, you are the only one able to negotiate with the player. Because the moment you and Real Madrid are on the same negotiating table, you are not getting him. So that was the whole mindset, that we blow Real Madrid away. And then from there, it's not even just about you getting the opportunity to negotiate with him one-on-one. But it'd be manipulative tactics. You've offered Leo 60 million. Leo themselves will go and talk to the player and tell him that, see, we helped you, groomed you from from the age of 8 years to where you are, to come to this stage where Real Madrid and Man United are fighting over you. You to do us a favor small. Informally to go tell him, say, see, this money we never seen before. We don't know what could happen in the next year. You could get an injury, whatever. Me personally, if you're asking me as a neutral fan, I'll say he should have rejected Man United and waited next year for Real Madrid and just gone there for free. Because common sense should tell you that if Real Madrid and Man United are coming for you in this current time, like, look at the number of young players Man United have signed and it hasn't really gone well. Like, if I'm a player who is looking after my career, it's the same way I didn't think that Enzo should have gone to Chelsea. I thought Enzo should have waited for the summer to get a better offer, a better move. So, and it's the same thing. Like, as a neutral, if I'm analyzing it from a neutral perspective, I would say yes, he should have waited till next summer. But as a Man United fan, I can see why United did what they did to get him, because that was literally the only way to get him. And if it comes good, nobody's going to remember that they paid 60 million for him. Van Gelder, now you can talk. It's been in your throat for like 10 minutes now.
Oh, nah, then I actually wanted to ask if the fee is actually just 60 million, because me, I see some 70 million for some side, 65 also for some side.
Actually, 60 million is actually including the add-ons. So they rise to 60 million. But obviously, when United is involved, everybody won't calculate the salary put inside. They won't calculate the rent put inside. They won't calculate the visa fees he pay put inside.
Can I ask you a question? Modric can be how much?
I don't know the word for Chelsea.
You know, other people, you put the count, what they paying mommy, what they paying poppy, they playing with Chelsea, take go there, or the other team take go there, go convince them, say make you do all those things.
Massa, if it come that thing, be United, don't always they do. Up are they now, Pogba in transfer
the biggest victims
they
of
still
this
don't
team.
Have they still don't have even Lukaku, Pogba, all of them, because we will sell papers. People won't know about United every day. Speculation. Every summer, then we never buy every player where they report the Madison accurately before. I they tell you, it be trendy day. If we will sell players, we'll be the only team where if we sign player, then they calculate in salary, add the transfer fee. I'm telling you, add on save, then they add them to the transfer fee. I'm telling you, Martial
in transfer fee, they include Ballon d'Or clause. Martial win Ballon d'Or. Why not still include if they talk in
full transfer value?
When Martial win Ballon d'Or?
At that time, that was the kind of talk around Martial. So now you know if he defend, because they thought he was on that path. But obviously, he then left.
That's all we are saying.
Once he know when now, the clause added to the clause fee has been paid.
The clause has no bearing on the transfer fee.
Oh, at the time of announcing, he posted he go win Ballon d'Or. So I hear that because they say he go feel right.
Once he know when now, if you ask how much did United pay for Martial,
it's okay. Me now, basically, it's okay. See, you will see right now. Me,
I won't.
Sorry, Corey, go on.
So this Euro thing, I see you put defend the price tag, and they say if it turns good, nobody go remember everything or remember how much it was bought for. What if he doesn't turn good? You put no say that in could be very dramatic spiral.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first big money flop we've seen. Like United, that's what we are known for lately. So like. We get Anthony and Zinedine for the squad inside. Nobody just want to go shock me.
But you know, I'm not defending them all. I'm not defending them all, but he's also just 18, to be very honest. He's just 18, yes. So by the time
you behave like English media be forgiving.
Oh no, they are not.
But already then they search targets. This friendly match. This friendly match he go play. The 30 minutes with the Savannah and say he hurts, you know. You see the way posted the date up. Or you put that one in your jar. They say you know if he hacked 30 minutes self against Prem side.
Ah, you make sure. I don't see that one.
Just it hurts. What you want? But me, I saw it as that too. But the way people started the date up, logo, English media is unforgiving. So if he play rule. Two, that money you put, they pay nil, no? Even if it be, you won't blow this people out of the water, they say 25 million euro. That be how much we are saying they're going to take out. We not did the financial distance, but upping it by 40 million, brother? That is not a negotiation tactic. That is somebody who doesn't know how to negotiate.
You come join we late. That way you not hear what we talk. If like you have heard the breakdown, me say about talking.
I won't say some agenda.
We are very objective.
The thing too is that Real Madrid were trying to move them because they knew that the player wanted them. So it's not like the 25 million Leo they go accept them. That was where they started their bidding for. If United hadn't come inside, like Madrid hold all the cards, if United wouldn't come scatter everything. But yeah, we've spent too much time on Euro. Let's move on to Enzo Fernandez. I don't want to call him racist, but allegedly that is what he's being called. A couple of weeks ago, after Argentina won the Copa America, he was recorded. He was actually the one doing the recording. So he recorded his fellow Argentina players, including himself, singing a racist song about France. Mm. I don't know how France even come inside, because you win Copa America, what France gets to do plus some?
That field, man.
I don't get it. But yeah, it caused a whole controversy. It looks like there's a civil war brewing in the Chelsea locker room, because Fofana came out to post some stuff on Instagram talking about how, Charlie, 2024, how people still doing this. He was bagged by his fellow black. He was bagged heavily by his fellow black Chelsea French players. So I don't know how it's going to look when Enzo reports back from his vacation or whatever. But Charlie, let me start with Crack, because Crack gets a lot of things to talk about this matter. Crack, what do you think about this whole Enzo racist case? Is it a case of him being misunderstood? Is it just football banter? What's going on over there?
First of all, he's from Argentina. All of them are racist. Secondly...
Crack, I've missed you.
Secondly, I just want to ask a question, right? The blacks that are actually backing this, I sometimes don't understand it. Like, you know this thing when we say, when an American is talking about racism in America, you day Africa, you can't show an American what racism is. You are not facing that. Let's break it down to tribalism, right? If me then you talk, what I tell say, Master Youssef, do them go back to die of voter region you come from. Is that a friendly statement? Is that a good statement? I just want you people to tell me that. If we are all Ghanaians, right? Why am I saying that Youssef go back to I before there's Anomoti or Asante for there's Anomoti and crime for there's Anomoti? If we are all Ghanaians, all right? So I'm saying this in correlation to the people saying that, but you are from Africa. Why they talk about you being from Africa? Why will you be mad? You are stupid. First of all, fan chants are derogatory. They are not supposed to make you happy. That's the root of all of this. When fans chants come, it's disrespectful. Let's take it from that angle. It's already disrespectful. So don't try and break it down and act as if when they are saying go back to your mother is from Angola, but then they have a French passport and things, they are saying it to hype up Mbappe. They are saying it to hype up the French team. No, that's not what's happening. So let's not act as if it's not something disrespectful already. Do you get it? Because you, the Argentines that are there, when we go back to your history, most of you over there, your origin, you are not from Argentina. You're all from different places that have come. Okay, let's talk about Griezmann. Griezmann has parents from, I forgot it. Not French parents. He has parents from, he had three lineages, right? But why is it that when they sing, they don't sing about Griezmann? He's white. So why are you acting dumb? Why are you acting dumb? Like, why are you acting dumb like this song was to the white people who are French? Who also are not French, typically French. They also come from different places. When fans sing it, I don't have a problem with that. Fans are fans. When fans are racist, they always find them, they come back, they do it. But the responsibility as a player is different from a fan. Why are we acting as if like players don't have responsibility? Why are we acting as if like players can do anything they want? No, you can't. You can't do that. It's like, okay, let's say somebody is saying that Van Gelder's mother is so, right? We posted a post. Somebody has replied the post that Van Gelder is being stupid. Baby, his mother, so. Sorry, Van Gelder, I'm making an example, right? I come on the pod and we're having an argument and I reference what the guy is saying. Do you think Van Gelder will receive it the same way as you receive what the fan did? Do you get it? That's why you don't expect Chelsea players. You don't expect the Chelsea players that are French to be happy with this when you want to play fucking Copa America that has got nothing to do with us. Why are you singing about Mbappe's mother and sis? Why are you singing about the French players? Like, why? Do you get my point? And you record it and post it too. You do live and you are happily singing it. And when he asked me is when he went to his former team, the whole stadium, they were singing it. Argentines, they are racist. Go to their history. Was it 1974 or something? They tried eradicating blacks. They left the minority. They left small population of blacks that they know they have no effect on the economy and things. When you go and read their history, it's there. They don't already like blacks. They are naturally racist. It's only a few that maybe due to exposure, they might not show it. But they are. So people that you are, we are disappointed you are an African because you love Chelsea. You are insulting your Chelsea player who feels this isn't right. You go to Ghana. You the show Fofana how make you feel about something against him. I used to be. And you have well-respected journalists chiming in saying this. I'm so disappointed because you love Chelsea.
Plus Enzo. No, because you take picture plus Enzo, he never be racist. How he be racist?
Way he take the picture plus Enzo. You know the one way he vexed me? The one way then try FaceTime and where he sleep, where he wake up. everyone knows.
Wait, he says sick of that one.
Yeah, everybody knows I'm the biggest Enzo fan. So I know you all are waiting for me to come and talk. Okwasia, Okwasia, who they wait for you to come and talk? You they can't. See, I mean, there are no one reacting. Like, I was so disappointed that they even had the effrontery to open a space to talk about this and to defend Enzo. And lastly, before I go, I mean, it's a match made in heaven. We all know the history of Chelsea. We all know their history. We all know them. It's nothing new. They are racist. Their most respected captain is racist. I mean, they always ban fans from being racist. It's in their culture. But then again, blacks have done more for them than anybody. But yet, so they still don't respect them. So I'm not surprised some of their fans don't see anything wrong with it. Because they are morally not Vangelda, some of them, they are morally questionable. So they are cantankerous like that. So yeah, so that's all I have to say.
Frank, what did they talk? It is sit Vangelda in here. He lock for a here. The way they hold it here, no. Lock for a year. He won't talk.
You get to go send you virus through your PC right now. Scatter your whole match. Anyway, guys, heads up, Crack will be leaving soon. So if Crack vanished from the record, they just not say he's had to go and attend to other issues. So yeah.
As a Crack, I can't do substitution.
Yeah, you can't do substitution, bro. Tag team. You tag inside. Vangelda, have you got any response to these allegations?
First of all, I think that the way the club and Enzo have handled it is the right way to go. Apologize publicly because their disrespect was public. Then apologize to your teammates in private. Because again, it be you then them they play. You all day group chat inside. You are all in the same dressing room. So it is just normal that their apology will be public. I don't expect that the club will come in say exactly if they are still conducting investigations and trying to mete out the appropriate punishment, which is what he deserves because it was stupid what he did. It's necessary. But then again, he's a young guy. Look, I'm not making excuses for him, but he's a young man from Argentina who's grown up in Argentina. That context is important, right? The same way they come from Ghana, there are certain things that Ghanaians do that other people will not understand. Other Ghanaians who grew up outside of Ghana will not do. Might be something we they do. For instance, please and caring about the opinions of older people. If they're not born you or you not grow up for Ghana, the likelihood say you go act that way be very, even if you are, your parents are Ghanaians or you have Ghanaian blood in you. The likelihood say you go act that way be low. Say, oh, daddy, please, mommy, please. Every adult, old person, you know, be daddy, mommy, uncle, auntie. I put them one of us. Who the hell are you? I don't know if anyway. Why they talk mama? Then so I think that context is important. Right. That context is important. He has erred. What he's done is wrong. He does deserve to be punished. And I think that whatever punishment the club meets out to him, he has to graciously accept it, and then he has to graciously move forward. On the other hand, I also understand why some Chelsea fans were pretty upset with Fofana. Because let me tell you, that upset is not coming from the fact that he came to reply. It's from the fact that he's always injured and we don't get our money's worth. If you really deep what in the talker, more of them they talk say use the Kwasia, you never play. You come to small pieces and concentrate and do then come play next season. See that shit you involve yourself in. And personally, Crack is very right. For people that have never lived abroad amongst other races and other stuff, you will not understand what racism is about. You won't get it. It's a concept that's so foreign to you, right? It's so foreign to you that you can't possibly fathom how deep it is. There's a way people look at you, that's racist. There's a way people smile at you, that's racist. There's a way people move around you, that's racist. If you've never lived it, you will not understand it. So I don't expect people that have never lived abroad to have anything, like, to understand why Fofana and the black players in Chelsea will be angry, especially the French players will be angry. And I, because don't forget, it was just the French players. Reece James, not like he cares, but as club captain, he didn't think it was necessary to come out publicly and say what he has to say. Subsequent interviews, he said, yes, I've spoken to Enzo. I've told him what he did was wrong. He has apologized to the team. But that's where I'll leave it. The rest of the conversation we had in private, and I'll keep it private. Right? What do they call him? Jackson, the fool. So he just the fool. But he came to post kind of like solidarity with Enzo. Right? So at the end of the day, there's a way that everybody takes this on board. And I understand and fully appreciate that for the French players, this must be so disrespectful and so hard for them. And it will cause a bit of friction. But I do not expect that they will go above and beyond what, like, the club say, Ichel, cut up. I expect everybody to abide by that. Make them all cut up. It's not necessary for anyone to come out and be throwing subliminals and things like that. Make everybody concentrate on the ball where we won't play and let's move forward. He's made a... It's not even an error. It's not an error in judgment, because you have to have good judgment to make that an error. It's kind of like he's publicly said what his culture is. And the culture is racist. That's what it is. It's simple. And the club has to probably give him some level of education as well, so that he can kind of understand what these things mean and whatever. However, I do have a problem. Why has this thing turned to an Enzo Fernandez thing? Where is Manchester City? Where is Manchester United? Where are...
Thief be who then catch. The people where then did a video.
I know that. You see, I know say thief be who then catch. And that is true. So it be E way they do the recording. So it be E then. But he's not the only one we saw in the video enthusiastically singing.
None of my players were in the video singing, so it's fair to assume that they did not
see Garnacho fall back on Sokuda.
No, make Garnacho then they do your own thing.
It is sit the back of the of the
distance. Lisandro they
do your own thing. Lisandro Martinez and they FaceTime, probably plus his black friends.
Maybe you call you. He call you for FaceTime. Maybe they read the lyrics. Hey, how you not say they FaceTime? Maybe
he also read the call me, but they had a sleep, so I don't see the call.
Van Gelder, I understand where you are coming from, man. The only reason why this situation for me, I feel as though will cause a bit more issues than just maybe just cut up. Then kill him for here because the club says so. You see, it bears down to even the mindset to begin with. For you to have the mindset, like, you know the lyrics that you're singing. You've won Copa America. France not there among the tournament itself. For you to reference it, oh, it was from the World Cup. You brought it to this tournament. It's a fan's chance. As Craig said, fans and players get different responsibilities because you can't control what fans do, but you can control what players do to a large extent. For him to record it, dude, all he had to do was not be on live. Like that's all he had to do for this to remain in the racist culture of theirs. And the fact that he put it on live, it'd be in natural states. That be in ground zero. He doesn't. That is their mindset. That it's okay. We've heard different quotes coming from their presidents and so on. People were fired and things. Were even asking for apology and things. It's their natural mindset. And so for you to then come out and say, "Oh, I'm sorry," what you're saying is that I'm sorry for getting caught. He didn't say I'm sorry, like, because he's just sad that he got caught. But in natural states, BC, they be racist. That's one. So having having the French players, having the black players and things, or the black French players come out and say what they say, I feel as though is this thing, it'd be more than just what they can't sing for the dissing, especially for Fana to react like that. Because so, as soon as you make it public, now everybody knows it, Charlie, Yawa did the dressing room. So if they come the pitched up ready, we for Fana get clean pass to Enzo. But the guy they vex himself. So he will take the more dangerous pass when they intercept and wait and score right now. English media go pinpoint on those simple things. They talk, say, oh, was there a problem in the dressing room? Or they'll always be at the back of, no matter what he does in England. I don't know how many people have recovered from, well, Suarez recovered from it, but Suarez was a goal scorer bringing a lot of joy. So a lot of people overlooked certain things. But I don't know how easy it would be for him to recover from this within the social context of England. In terms of Premiership games, in terms of the kind of hostility he might receive, and things like that from the different stadiums. If they're talking name, everywhere you go, then go boom. I don't know how easy it will be for him to recover. So, for him to just come and say, I'm sorry, like, a murderer saying, like a cold-blooded murderer saying, I'm sorry, like, dude, you're just sorry you got caught. You're not really sorry on the act. It takes such years to even with education. All they're going to educate is that don't say these things out loud. That's all they're going to tell you how to control his mouth, but not the innate person be racist. That country, no. Innately, that's what they are. So for him, like, no matter what you say, it's just trash. Like, you're just saying it so that is the modus operandi, is the way of doing things. Oh, I got caught. Okay, I'm sorry I was racist. Don't happen again. But deep down, bro, I still hate your ass. So I worry about the effect that this is going to have on your, cause it not be right away then bang you for or something like that for priests. As he say, but they are sure be confused and everything because they talk say get Angolan passport.
At the end of the day, whereas I understand where you are coming from, and yes, I'm interested to see how he overcomes the social. Because if the social aspects of it, first of all, if there's anybody that's come to tell somebody about racism, it shouldn't be English fans. They should really chill the fuck out. Excuse my French. Also, look, we're all here. When Liverpool people printed Suarez shirt,
it's already them boring English fans, Charlie.
We were all here. No, some club fans, they protect representatives. Them ones have, we'll not move to them. Let's be very guided. Like, at the end of the day, if we want to talk about everybody get skeleton for them at closet. We were here when Liverpool fans were chanting and supporting Suarez. We were here when the club printed shirts with his face on it, I stand with Suarez, and the players wore it for warm up. We were here. Nobody had an issue with that. So I understand where you are coming from in the sense that, yes, he might have, he has a responsibility, and innately, that might be what his disposition or his innate training is. I don't think that the education will just be, make you not talk that in again. Yeah, okay. Chelsea has done a lot of work. A lot of work in terms of this racism and anti-Semitism thing. These two things. Like, they've done a lot of work through Chelsea Foundation. So I expect that the training will be proper diversity training. But what I don't expect is that when he genuinely apologizes, I'm dictating to the French players how they should react towards him. But there's a level of professionality I would expect from them. You go feel born, you have the right to do that. What you do be stupid. What you do be wrong. you bomb, fair enough. But when we step on that pitch, you play for Chelsea Football Club. And I expect that they will play well. Simple as. I don't want to hear any, oh, Enzo be racist. He talks something where he bore me. That be why the clear pass was there to Enzo. And we decided to hoof it. And that's how we've considered a stupid goal. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. So, at the end of the day, make everybody day in day. Make every club mind them a business. We made them go check them a players from Argentina. Make everybody, you see, and this is why I was asking why. Because Smiley, when you...
I want you to clip that party talk. Make everybody mind they them aside, they mind them a business. I won't make you just clip them for future reference.
Because
I know it will come up again.
No, because at the end of the day, again, as I've said, it wasn't just Enzo in that bus. There were players of other English clubs in that bus. But
how many Argentinian players play in England? McAllister.
Yeah.
Garnacho. Uh-huh. Then Enzo. Who again?
Man United get this into Lisandro Martinez.
And Martinez. Okay. Alvarez. He's not really in the...
Alvarez for Man City. You see?
Uh-huh.
That's at least 5 or 6 players playing for three or four of the top teams in England. So if we want, I'm not saying make everybody too good, but maybe other clubs are handling it in a more private, quiet, you know, let's just say. My issue is, say Kofi Bienzo, everybody just want to amplify him, make him like, it be Ipe, like, he then they toilet top where he record him, body way we catch him say, he they sing racist. No, it wasn't just him.
Okay, guys, moving on. So we are going to play the Who Am I game. But for those listening on audio, this is going to be exclusive on our YouTube page. So if you want to watch this, just go to our YouTube and watch the Who Am I game. We've come to the end of this episode. Tally guys, thank you for joining us. If you haven't done this already, please follow us on our social media pages. On Twitter, Instagram, it's ATW Podcast GCR. On TikTok, it's After the Whistle. On YouTube, After the Whistle Podcast. So if you haven't done this, follow, subscribe on our YouTube, our different podcast pages, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you go find podcasts, we did it. Follow, rate us. The rating is very important. Rate us, leave comments, and also on our social media, leave comments. You can tag us in anything that you want to talk about. You can reply to our tweets, and you can also use the hashtag ATW Podcast. Just anywhere to just keep the conversation going, give us feedback on the episode, whether positive or negative. We accept all feedback. And also, Charlie, subscribe to the YouTube. You guys put pressure on us that you want YouTube, but still, it'd be like, they prefer audio for some reason, but like, yeah, subscribe to the YouTube, watch the YouTube. If you watch the YouTube, like, comment, all of that, and share anything you can do to help. Just Charlie, we do for you. And Charlie, guys, thank you, Corey Van Gelder. Corey, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't notify him early enough, so that's why he joined later during the episode. But Crack Too Force, Crack has been through a few issues over the past week, but finally, he's back with us. So, yeah, Charlie, guys, thank you as always for all the support and everything. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.